You're listening to Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
What is the heart of prayer to be? What's the beginning points of our heart to really be a person of prayer? All of us want to pray more than we pray. All of us want to pray. And all of us desire that, but we just don't get to it. Now, yesterday we went and had 4th of July as you did, and the 4th of July that we had, we do it almost every year, so you're probably going to hear me every year tell something about this, but we go to Kelly's grandmother's house in her hometown, and this hometown is 1,200 people, okay? So it's a third of what's in this auditorium right now, and so in this, her grandmother lives on the main street. Now, the main street in a town of 1,200 people is not a problem for traffic, okay? It's not a big deal. So we set up lawn chairs in the morning to keep all the people coming in from the big cities to keep from parking in the front. So we set up lawn chairs, and we kind of stake out our territory, and we sit down there, and then the parade comes down Main Street. So we sit there as candy comes off the float, and it's the kind of candy you don't have to send through a radar detector, or not radar detector, one of those x-ray machines to find out, you know, if there's something wrong. It's just good small-town fun. So the kids are gathering candy. I'm sitting in the lawn chair there. Actually, this year took the chairs out of the SUV in the back and sat down. So we really look like country come to town with, you know, the SUV over the whole deal. So here we are, and we've got the parade going by. And the first folks that came by, as I got, you know, kind of sun tea in my eyes and ready to go in this small town, and is the first little section that comes by, is the guys that are carrying the American flag. So everybody just starts standing up. And on the parade route at this point, there's only about 15 people stand up. We're related to them all. So here comes the parade coming by. And they've got the flag coming by. And it's the Vietnam veterans that are coming by. And as they're walking by, I'm thinking about all these World War II veterans we're going to see, all these floats we're going to see. Most of the floats in this parade are pulled by a tractor. I want you to get the idea. And if they're not pulled by a tractor, they're pulled by a dually, okay? That's country for two back wheels on either side. So here comes these guys walking with the flag, and we take our hats off, kids, and all that. So we take off our hats, and they walk by, and we're standing up as these Vietnam veterans walk by. You know how you just say something, it just comes out of you, you didn't plan it. And it's actually good, you know, sometimes you say that and it's bad. I just, in my heart, I just said to them, as they were walking by, probably right here, you know, 10 feet from me, I just said, thank you, thank you. I just started thinking of all these Vietnam veterans coming home and the way they were treated when they came home, and I just said, thank you, and then somebody else in our family said, thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and thank you, and these guys walking by at the beginning of the parade, one of them just looked over and said, well, you're welcome, kind of startled. You're welcome, and thank you, and you're welcome, and thank you. And it was just, it was awesome. And as we had this 4th of July parade, every soldier that would come by, I just maybe wouldn't call it out quite as loud, but I just would whisper in my heart, thank you, thank you. I'm sitting here drinking sun tea in a lawn chair because of what you did. Thank you for that. And that kind of heart is the heart we've got to come to prayer with. Lord, thank you not for freedom within a nation, because there will be a day that America does not exist, because we will be in heaven and we will say, thank you, Lord, that we can connect with you. Thank you, God, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for prayer. And when we come with a heart of thankfulness and a heart realizing the faithfulness of God, I was saying to those soldiers, thank you for the foxhole. Thank you for your faithfulness there. Thank you for your faithfulness to get on that plane. Thank you for your faithfulness in bombing. Thank you for that faithfulness in your friend being shot next to you. Thank you for your faithfulness in all that you do and all that you have done for us. Thank you for your faithfulness. And that faithfulness of them brought a thankfulness in my heart. And that's the spirit we come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. Look at what Paul says. It's right after saying some men are unfaithful. And then in verse 3, he says this, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Then it goes on in verse 4, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. He begins by saying this, pray realizing the Lord is faithful. Pray realizing the Lord is faithful. That God is not an unfaithful God. You're not going to turn to God and he's going to be unfaithful to you. He's not going to trick you. He's not hiding above the ceiling and as your prayers hit the ceiling. He's not trying to mess with you. God is faithful. And the thankfulness that we have for the faithfulness in the foxhole is even more the thankfulness we have for the faithfulness on the throne of God. That God the Father is faithful to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. For the God who called you into fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is faithful. Psalms 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does. God is faithful. So when we turn to the Lord in prayer, we don't come wondering if God's moody. We don't come wondering if God's emotionally unstable. We don't come wondering if when he said he forgave us, did he really forgive us? When he said he lives inside a believer in Christ through the Holy Spirit, does he really? We come knowing he is faithful and true, and that changes everything. And it says the Lord is faithful to what? To strengthen you and to protect you. Have you ever thought about the strength that you need from God? I know what the last song is before I come up and speak. I got the order of worship. You might not know what the last song is. I do. And at that moment, when it's the last song, and I hear him start it, and I realize it's the last song, I start praying for strength. Dear Lord, speak through me. Dear God, give me wisdom. Dear Lord, please strengthen me. Prayer strengthens us. Do you feel weak? Pray. Do you feel like you're maybe not going to make it this week in your faith? Pray. Are you unsure if you'll trust God deeper today? Pray. He wants to strengthen you. We go through times where we feel weak. If you do not feel weak, you are lying to yourself. Every one of us is weak, fragile, frail. Not just physically, but emotionally sometimes as well. And God wants to strengthen us and to lift us up in prayer. But not only does he want to strengthen us, he wants to protect us. He wants to protect us. Have you ever had a thought like this? Well, you've looked back on your past and you've thought of all the things God has protected you from. I mean, just protected you from. That maybe by following his will, you are protected from something. Do you know that following God, reading his word, investing time in the Bible, spending time in prayer, it can protect you from amazing things? If you obey the law, you're going to be protected. It's a whole lot easier to get in a car wreck going 90 miles an hour than it is going 70. So obeying the laws helps us to protect our lives. If you spend less than you make, you end up protecting yourself on the stress that comes with finances. And too often we spend more than we make, so then we're indebted to the lender. And we're in this slavery. But if we follow and say, Lord, I don't want to be in that kind of debt, that credit card consumer kind of debt. Lord, get me out of that. Sure, I'm for borrowing money for a home. I understand that. But to be able to say, God, we want to pay these things off, it protects you. If you wait until you're married to have sex, it protects you within your marriage. If you're faithful within your marriage to your spouse, it protects your kids and it protects your heart. All of these things that we're able to have faithfulness to God, to allow him to see our faithfulness to protect us. And then there's other times that he is faithful to us and protecting us in ways we do not know. You know, there might have been 30 times this week that God protected you. Maybe you forgot your keys and that little delay of 5 minutes of losing your keys that frustrated you so much kept you out of that car wreck in which you would have been killed. Maybe there was a protection that happened this week that you do not know of that God protected you. Kelly and I were driving years ago going to Austin to speak to University of Texas students. We knew it was filled with lost people. We had seen the devil's horns lifted up often. I said, I love burnt orange last week. I got to even it out this week. No, I'm playing. But we were going to speak to these University of Texas students, honored to be able to do it. And as we were driving down I-35, I'm in the left lane, possibly driving too fast. I can't remember. But as I'm driving along, in that time, there I am, and there's an 18-wheeler. And we begin to pass this 18-wheelers. I begin to pass this 18-wheeler. It's the barricade on the left. It's the 18-wheeler on the right. The 18-wheeler begins to come over in our lane. I keep going over. He keeps coming over in our lane. He's keeping to come over. Till finally we are scraping the barrier and the tires of the 18-wheeler are scraping the other side of the car. There's no place to go. And at that moment, it's funny what comes out of you. My wife covers her face at that moment and says, "Dear Jesus, help. Dear Jesus, help. Dear Jesus, help." I'm grabbing the wheel going, "We're okay. We're okay. We're okay." I'm like, "God, I got to solve this." She's praying. And I'm like, "Keep it up. I'm solving it, though. I don't know what to do." So in this moment, it's just this stress. I mean, literally coming in, rocking a hard place kind of thing. And so finally, what had happened, a car had gone in front of the 18-wheeler. It had slid sideways, so it had T-boned it. That car slides out, now is in our lane. I'm looking at headlights going down I-35 as he's flying backwards, and finally it all stops, and we pull over. You okay? Okay. I'm okay. It takes you days to get over those sort of things. Police come, and they say, "You're lucky you didn't die, because you were about a few feet from going underneath the 18-wheeler in your Honda Accord and going underneath it." And so we got to the thing late. It was the last song. I'm about to get up and speak, and I'm like, I don't even know what to say. And they pray over me, trying to encourage me and say, "Lord, thank you for sparing Greg's life. I know the message you have for him today." I'm like, "The message you have for me is going to stink," is what it's going to say. I mean, I'm thinking about insurance is what I'm thinking about, not the Bible right now. But, you know, I trust God did something. And in that moment, I think back to that day sometimes, and I'm like, "Thank you, Lord. Wow. Your protection." How many times has that happened in your life or my life that we didn't even get in the wreck? And at the same time, sometimes the wreck happens and people die. And we still can say, "Thank you, Lord." The heart of prayer we come with is that heart that you feel right now. It's that heart of deep gratitude of God's protection. Then you come in that the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you. Not in survivor's guilt, but in Christian thankfulness and gratitude. And we say, "Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for that." But do you know that there's sometimes you are going to be in that wreck. You are going to get hurt, not just in some car wreck, but in life. You will be wounded in life. You will not be protected from everything. You will be wounded. Write it down. It's a done deal. It will happen. And you will wound somebody else. Whether you mean to or not, you will wound somebody else. We will be wounded and we will wound. So we come saying, "Lord, you're the only faithful one. You're the only one that we can give all of our faithfulness to, and you'll strengthen us. But some days it won't feel like I got enough strength. You'll protect, but some days I'll think, why didn't you protect me from that?" And I'll keep walking. And here's what I want you to hear and what prayer teaches us. Don't waste your wounds. Don't waste your wounds. All of us will be wounded. What's the wound you're thinking about even right now? All of us will be wounded. Don't waste them. Do you know how you waste your wounds? You waste your wounds with bitterness. Waste your wounds. You waste your wounds with anger. Waste your wounds. You waste your wounds with holding back forgiveness instead of giving forgiveness. You waste your wounds by wanting them to pay back what they took from you in your mind, but they don't even know they took it from you. You waste your wounds, and I waste my wounds through anger and bitterness and lack of forgiveness. You will be wounded, but through prayer we can say, "Lord, would you use my wounds for your glory? Would the gospel run through my wounds? Lord, would you do your work here?" And what will happen is God will turn your misery into your ministry. God will turn your misery into your ministry. We have a great program here called Celebrate Recovery. It handles addictions and all different things that go on. You know, some of our greatest people are in that. It's the ones that stand up and say, "I was addicted to fill in the blank, and I know where you are." It's awesome. In crisis pregnancy, the greatest people to minister sometimes are the ones that have gone through that and say, "I know exactly where you are. I was not pure either. and they step forward with that ministry, does it negate other people? Of course not. But God can use the testimony of a wound to minister to somebody else. Don't waste your wounds. We have on the 4th of July weekend in particular, we celebrate the wounds of our soldiers, the wounded warriors, if you will. I want to give you an example of a couple of them. One of them is a lady named Melissa Stockton. She was deployed, that's her. She was deployed to Iraq, and she was in charge of a transportation officer is what she was. So she was going in the roads in and out of Baghdad, and we all know there's many bombs on there. Well, the bomb blew up, and it blew up so much that her vehicle swerved into a guardrail and ultimately went through a house. The medics came and put a tourniquet on her leg. They didn't realize her leg was already gone. And in this, she laid in the hospital. Her husband was a soldier. They flew him from where he was, and they made this decision. This is what they said. Melissa was glad that her husband, Dick, was there for her at that moment, and they made the immediate decision, let's get on with this and get on with life. Then 15 surgeries. Then she went back to college to earn a second bachelor's degree in prosthetics, meaning limbs that are fake limbs, basically. In prosthetics, she went to get a bachelor's degree in that. And then she says one of the greatest moments of her life, the absolute joy is when she made a prosthetic leg for a 10-year-old girl and watched the child put the leg on for the first time and run around and jump up and down in celebration. She didn't waste her wounds. She didn't sit around and say, well, I don't have a leg anymore. What am I going to do with this? She took that and then she gave a prosthetic leg to someone else. Another wounded warrior is a guy named Jeremy Feldbusch. He was deployed with his fellow Rangers to Iraq at the opening of the Iraqi freedom. During the battle, a one-inch piece of red-hot shrapnel sliced through Jeremy's right eye, crashing through his sinuses and lodging in the left side of his brain. It caused severe damage to the optic nerve in his left eye and sent splinters of bone through his brain. Jeremy lost his right eye immediately upon the surgery. So what is he doing now? Now he does a considerable amount of time of inspirational speaking, telling the American people and people that have been injured, the troops that are injured in Iraq and Afghanistan. He speaks to them, and he's getting his doctorate in psychology so that he can provide counseling to the veterans when they come back from war. He didn't waste his wounds. He even said this, I have no regrets whatsoever. If I had one good eye left, I'd be banging on the Army's door asking them to let me back in. He did not waste his wounds. And I ask you, are you wasting your wounds? Because if you come to God in prayer and you say, Lord, you're faithful. I'm wounded, but you're faithful. Would you strengthen me? Protect me, and I'm not always going to be protected from everything I think I should be protected from. And Lord, I want you to help me to walk this out. See, prayer brings confident dependence. Prayer brings confident dependence. Your wounds make you dependent. Your prayer makes you confident. Prayer brings confident dependence. That the more time we spend with God, the more dependent we become on God. And the more confident we become in God. Look at what Paul says in this next verse of Scripture, verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things that we command. May the Lord direct your hearts, where? Into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Prayer brings confident dependence. Is that an oxymoron or is that proper perspective? He gives us, it says here, Paul's saying, I have confidence in the Lord that you're going to live these things out, Thessalonian church, who he's writing to. I have confidence not in you, not in your faithfulness, confidence in the Lord that he's going to take care of you and you're going to live these things out and you're going to walk in a way that is obedient to God, that really spends time with the Lord. I'm confident in his purity, that God has given me purity, so I'm faithful to my wife. I'm confident in his plan for my life, so I stand firm in trials. I'm confident in his provision, so I share with others. The confidence comes from the Lord that then works out into our lives. And our prayer time is when we get on our knees and we put all these things together and we say, Lord, I'm just thankful today. Thank you. Thank you that you've strengthened me and you've protected me and my wounds. You're even going to use those. And that there's confidence that I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to spend my life for you. But also we ask people to come around us and pray. We've got to get other people praying for us as well. There should be us calling out and saying, would you pray for me? Would you pray with me? We try to be around here, you've heard it before, a relevant biblical community. That's our mission. That's our vision. And we want to be relevant. Most of our culture thinks the church is irrelevant. Churches are tourist stops when they're beautiful. Let's go and look at, oh, isn't that pretty? Isn't that great? Let's get back on the bus. God wants the church to be relevant and to be able to connect so that people don't look and say, oh, church, yeah, I think my grandparents went there. But to see it as relevant. So we want to be relevant. We want to be biblical. We want to stand on His word because it's eternal. We want to be a community, not a corporation or a clique, but where you know people's names and people know you and people are friendly and you're able to connect. Well, we can do that with prayer. And what we've done is we've got on our website, I want you to see this, and it's listed on how to do this on the back of your listening guide. We'll tell you how to do what I'm going to show you. If you go to our website, this is our website, and I'm controlling it here. We've got all our different things, houstonsfirst.org. And if you go here to this Finding Help section over to the right, and you scroll down to prayer, and you click that on prayer, you will get to our online prayer request where you can submit prayer requests via text. You can text us your prayer request, 41411, put pray first and then whatever your request is. You can call our prayer line. We've got a phone just specific for prayer. You can write on your bulletin little thing you tear off how to pray for you. You can come in person and ask us to pray for you. Anything. We want to pray for you. You can join the Prayer First Network, Pray First Network, and that's people that we can get you the information about how to pray for people. And then what you can do is you can submit an online request. And this online request, if you click to the online aspect, it'll give you, and so here we've got recovery, medical. My grandson has MD and had surgery, okay? Eric is angry at God and rebelling. Brooke in law school, Eric and Brooke for their relationship. We can pray for them. We can ask God to do these things. So what we can do is we can update with comments if we wanted to. We can hit keep us posted to keep in track with that. Or this is what I like to do. You come over to that word prayer and we pray for them. So Lord, we pray for this grandson that has MD, muscular dystrophy, I assume, and has had surgery. We pray you'd heal him. Now I can click that. And when I click that, watch in just a second, that 5 went to a 6. Do you see that? Now hopefully a couple other people prayed with me, so we'll click it a couple more times and we'll just get it going. So somebody can be able to come and to see what it is here that somebody's praying for me. That's online, right there at your computer. So you don't have to, well, I wonder what I should pray for. Go right there. You can scroll down, just see. You seeing that? Is that some prayer requests or what? So, and that's just on my computer, a little bar. We're halfway done at that point. We had a praise for Amazing Grace. 12 people prayed, thanking God for that. Isn't that great? Gloria, diagnosed with lung cancer and brain cancer, and she's a believer in Christ. 12 people have prayed for that. That's our desire to take this thing of prayer and put it right in to where we are. Lord knows there's enough trash on the internet. We need something redeeming out there. And so in this, to be able to see and understand that prayer is something we can come together. My goal in these two messages is not just for us to get fired up about prayer, but to give you some tools of prayer. You've got a prayer guide here on the back of your listening guide. You can fill out those blanks from last week. We've got here how you can pray online. And then lastly, as we wrap up, message series title, Pray to Find Your Way. Paul's going to give us in this next verse, pray to find your way. That's what we're saying, God. We want to do what you want to do, want us to do. Would you help us to pray to find your way? If you feel lost, if you feel like you don't know where you're going, pray to find your way. Look at what happens in the last verse we go over, verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts. That sounds like praying to find your way to me. Direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Here's what happens. When you pray, your heart will be directed into God's love and Christ's perseverance. God's love, you'll understand the depth of God's love for you, and you'll show God's love to others. Prayerful people understand God's love for them and share God's love with others. Not only will you be directed into God's love, you will be directed into Christ's perseverance. Did Christ persevere? Yes, he did. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it says, consider Christ who endured such opposition and endured the scorn that came from sinful men, so that you may not become weary and lose heart. Christ persevered. Perseverance and obedience is a long road in the same direction. Marriage is a long road in the same direction. A workplace is a long road in the same direction. Walking with God is a long road in the same direction, so that we're able to pray to find our way and allow God to move us into God's love and move us into Christ's perseverance. If you feel like you're going to give up, pray. If you feel like your marriage isn't going to make it, pray. If you feel like your kids are never going to walk with God, pray. And allow the Lord to have the gospel run to them. Close with this illustration. Don't ever learn how to sound retreat. At the Battle of Waterloo, Napoleon was there, and he looked out and he said that the English soldiers were standing firm. He looked to the bugler and he said, "Bugler, sound the retreat. We've been defeated." And the bugler looked up at Napoleon and said, "Sir, in all of our campaigns in Europe, I never learned how to sound retreat." Napoleon said, "Well, then let's keep going." And they just kept on marching on. Can I tell you this? Don't learn the song of retreat. You will sing it too soon. And you will sing it before God wants to do what he wants to do in your life. Don't learn it. Don't learn retreat in your relationships. Don't learn retreat in your friendships. Don't learn retreat in your marriage. Don't learn retreat at your workplace. Don't learn retreat in your trust of Jesus. Don't learn how to sound it, because God doesn't want you to sound it. He wants to keep you marching into what? God's love and Christ's perseverance. So as the soldiers walk by, we say, "Thank you." But as the cross walks by, we say, "Thank you. That in prayer you strengthen and protect me, and that you use all of these things to guide me deeper into your love and deeper into your perseverance. Even though at times I'm wounded, you have confidence in the Lord that you're going to make it."